This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Well, the squirrels are back in the attic. Your dad won't call an exterminator. He says it's personal this time. Where are you? It's very loud there. Are you taking a Zumba class?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back from, well, it was a little extended break. We needed it. After all the hilarity of last segment, oh my heaven's sakes alive, there's a lot of we're getting, what is it, how to say shit in different languages, is that what we're getting? Whoops. Oh, I hit the wrong mic for you.
Wrong button.
Yeah.
My bad.
I don't think the British say poo. I just watched a British movie, too. Huh? I think they just say shit.
I think they're two different things, though. I think when referring to actual feces, the British say poo.
Oh, really?
But when just cursing,
make.
Right? That's the potty.
You gotta push. You gotta push.
She did a whole explanation of the gesture this season. I died. Listen.
How about Al Perkins and some entertainment?
Let's talk about the Goldbergs.
We
for
should
a
watch
second.
The Goldbergs. Just for every week for when Beverly swears. You just wait for her to drop an F-bomb and have her whole face get bleeped out. Like, it's just hysterical.
It's super good. But no, the part that got me was when she described what the make motion really was. She broke it down.
Because she's trying to convince Eric. No, what's
Eric. The Barry's girlfriend.
Barry's girlfriend, like how he has to be her boyfriend's mother. She has to
fiance,
make sure
fiance. They're engaged.
She has to make sure that he goes to bed. They have to ask him every morning if he make it. She had to explain it to her.
And to explain the gesture.
And the look on the fiance's face. I'm not doing that.
Right.
So two shows, one of which should be back this week and I should be enjoying and it's all of its hilarity. Is on delay in that Stranger Things season 3.
Ooh.
They're promising that this time it's bigger, better, it's Electric Boogaloo.
This time it's personal.
Yeah, but they're not coming back until early next year. So they missed their Halloween deadline. And then the other show that should have come back, but they missed their deadline too, was Mindhunter season 2. Is also on a delay. So both will be out in 2019. Probably both before the Emmys, but I was really surprised that Stranger Things didn't make its Halloween deadline. But I guess there's a longer turnaround than we think for all that
production
special effects.
Production delays.
Yeah, production delays.
Turn around, bright eyes.
And there for the Haunting of Hill House humans, there is a second season, but it's probably going to be an anthology. They feel like they are going to leave that family alone and it's going to turn into a haunted house show. So that we'll go into for your Halloween pleasures. If you're going out to see the new Halloween, it's okay. Very girl power.
Yeah.
If they could have used half that girl power in A Star Is Born, they would have had an okay movie.
If they'd have had one freaking sound engineer as a woman in that movie, though.
Anyone.
Listen.
Any job.
Anyone. Don't get me started. Because I had guys coming out of the woodwork to tell me not only is that like intentional, but it's also a feature.
No.
What?
No. Not at all.
We're not starting.
Just lazy screenwriting. But anyway, so Halloween, okay, nice homages to all the other movies.
Very nice.
I haven't seen, there's a few I haven't seen. I think I've missed Halloween 5 and 6, 4, 5, and 6, and probably Freddy versus Jason movie somewhere along the line. I'm sure I missed one of those. Oh, no. Oh, Freddy versus Jason is the wrong people. So I don't think they've ever put, Mike Myers against someone else.
I don't think so. I don't know.
I call him Mike. We're very close.
I thought you were conflating Bohemian Rhapsody, not that Freddy, though.
Oh, not that Freddy.
Different
no,
Freddy. Got it.
Freddy right. Krueger and ooh. I think Jason from Friday the 13th eventually went to war in some sort of film.
I feel like that's a thing.
So, but honestly, I watch my horror movies all month. If you really want a Halloween update that's kind of worth it, I would recommend the Halloween H2O from 20 years ago, where Jamie Lee Curtis came back and was living in California under a different identity, and Michael Myers finds her. That was very thrilling. That, I thought that one was a little bit better than this one. But this one, you know, it's horror fun. But on the Amazon Prime, cannot recommend it enough. I got some good scares out of this last night, and I thought it was a fun concept. It's called Hell House LLC, which was just a cute little play on words. And it's people that go find an abandoned haunted hotel on, I'm going to say Long Island, because it's just outside of New York City.
Sure.
And they decide to turn it into a haunted house that they hire actors for, and they set up all the gimmicks. I guess they've done, you know, the backstory is they've done this in other places, and now this is their new haunted house, and they're going to set it up and, you know, make limited investment. It's an abandoned hotel.
Okay.
They get to make some money, and I guess they're kind of short on cash. Is one of the plot points I think went by that I wasn't paying attention to. But they don't know all the, but the house is haunted. So as they're getting up in the middle of the night to investigate noises, they're finding their own things that they put there to scare the people who are eventually going to go through the haunted house, plus the real hauntings, and trying to see the difference. And a couple times they try out their tricks for when the people go through, and they get scared by their own things because there's other things haunting besides what they have there. There's a creepy clown. It was a delightful hour and 34 minutes, and I got a couple of really solid screams out of it, some jumps. It was a delight. It was made for about $57.
It's my favorite
serves
kind.
Serves two.
Sauce on the side.
And I feel like I got every dollar out of them. But it's all, and it was a clever thing that it's all done through...
point of view?
Yeah, through cams. Like, it's all done through...
Oh.
When they're testing the things, they're testing it on their video camera, on their phone. The right. only footage of the incident comes from someone who was there, and then the one guy that's in charge during the night that it all goes wrong, he's wearing a camera because they have to communicate with each other that, like, the guests are coming into this room, hit the fog, cue the bartender.
Wait,
like,
so does it give you, does it have that seasick feeling like Blair Witch then?
No, it's not that bad. It's all okay. meant to be, it's not people running. I mean, there's a couple parts where they're running, but most of it is just, like, to show you what they're seeing, and there's a creepy-ass fucking clown. Like, well done them on getting another clown to scare the bejesus out of me. The clown industry is really taking a hit.
Clowning ain't what it used to be.
And then, so that's on Amazon Prime, complimentary with your $1 million 1 year fee.
I believe it's $129.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it did get it went up.
Yeah.
Now we just got to get stuff ordered to make up the difference. So on Netflix, there's a movie called The Ritual about four Englishmen who go on a hike through Denmark?
Sure.
Holland? I don't know. Somewhere foreign to
Hala,
them.
Waka, waka, yeah.
And they end up having to take a shortcut due to a sprained ankle, sprained knee through a forest that may or may not be possessed. Ooh, that was good. It was a Netflix original with Rafe Spall, who is Timothy Spall's son. He's been in a bunch of different movies. He's in all the... the something at the end of the world. Shaun of the Dead at the end of the world about the bar where you don't know what they're doing, but it's the apocalypse, and they make their way through London to get help, and you find out that the place that they're meeting is a bar called At the End of the World.
Okay.
And it's just they make these. He is usually in these movies that have a serious tone, like a zombie, but then they're actual comedies. Like, the one guy that's a zombie in Shaun of the Dead, is they think he's drunk, and they keep trying to poke him and, like, wake him up, and it's just, it's very funny. Like, it's a very funny comedy. And this Rafe Spall has always had these parts in these little movies. So I thought this movie was going to turn out to have some kind of funny twist, because every movie he's been in has been kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good suspense, not really a horror movie, just suspenseful of what's in the woods with them. I guess it was a horror movie. I guess I screamed. But it was good. So those are your horror movie recommendations. You can stay at home for cheaper and have more fun.
I'll just fall asleep 20 minutes in anyway.
26. 26. I think you promised me 26 minutes.
That's true.
Six minutes can make a big difference.
I might be lying a little bit. I might, like, fall asleep for 5 minutes and then wake up for one at minute 26 and then go back to sleep. Carry on.
I'm torn between my next read being A Million Little Pieces or My Life as a Goddess. One's a comedy.
One's about a whale
one's
explosion.
One's a girl power. Yeah, one's about a whale explosion.
Hang on. Let me go to Amazon.
Yeah. We've talked about My Life as a Goddess. That's that comedian.
The comedian from Love It or Leave It all the time.
Yeah,
Guy Branum.
Yes. And the Love It or Leave It without the live audience and without Tommy Lovett, not as good. No, not John Lovett. Tommy Vitor.
Yeah, I don't know. That's okay.
They're okay, but they're missing something.
Kind of following the format. Yeah, well, they're missing John Lovett just screaming at everyone.
And a live.
If that's a thing that you like.
And the live audience. I think the live audience.
Yeah, that first one. That first one in studio was pretty good, but now that they're just doing them all that way, not as good.
Yeah, you've lost the organics and the knowing if a joke is working. Like, it really helps.
Right.
We don't, but we will.
Right, My Life as a Goddess. We know that. What's the other book?
A Million Little Pieces.
Stand by.
50 Ways. I'm going to look into them.
Very girl power.
I'm into that.
Yes, I thought you might enjoy that one.
I know you're surprised.
Yeah, really.
Breaking news.
This
feminism.
Week on the late show. The late show
with who?
With Carpool
James
Karaoke
Corden.
With James Corden. Barbara, can you hear me? She's going to be on Thursday. The ads look like a lot of fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Streisand is
She's got a new album, and she's doing all the things.
The very first thing anyone's ever going to say about it is it going to be about her seatbelt. Just know that she's wearing it wrong and just be okay with it and move on with your life.
Oh, why? How is she wearing the seatbelt? I didn't notice that.
Under her armpit.
Oh.
Yeah, so instead of up and across the chest.
Because it cuts your boobs wrong on camera.
Well, I mean.
You got to be worried.
That's true.
I'm sure there's a lighting issue, too.
But you want to try and be safe. I don't know.
Well, she's driving, which I thought was odd.
Which I thought was a cute twist.
Yeah.
And she's very, like, in control. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine her just being like, oh, okay, I'll go for a ride
with
you.
I feel like Barbara has driven anywhere in 40 years.
I was surprised she knew how to drive.
Sure.
That was the first thing I thought. But
she lives in New York, right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, no. She's lived in California for a long time.
Mm.
But then I thought, she's been famous since she was a teenager and didn't have a car. So at some point, someone taught her how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
She's got
that house in Malibu that has the mall in the basement.
Or
that still cracks. There's an actual mall.
Or it's the Land Rover on a trailer, and they're just pulling her through LA.
Which has been my theory on that the entire time.
On some of it,
yeah. Except for a couple times, they really drive her on the block at the studio.
Right,
yeah.
Television City.
Yeah, but sometimes they go out into the street because it wasn't. Who did the? Somebody did hair.
So the crosswalk musicals is a whole different segment.
But they combine them.
That's right in front of it.
There was one where a Carpool Karaoke ran into a crosswalk show tunes.
I don't know which one is that. It's not Hair, because Hair was Lin-Manuel Miranda. And it's not Beauty and the Beast.
Wait, so Lin-Manuel Miranda was in the car.
Not the same car. He was in a car in New York right before the Tony Awards when Audra McDonald and
No. This is
Tyler Ferguson.
Yeah, this is a different one where somebody's in the car and they get stopped by the cast of Hair and they worry they're going to take their clothes off and then they keep singing whatever the Broadway song is. They're like unrelated.
I don't think I know that one, but I don't watch the like spin-off YouTube TV show where they've got other people. Not with James Corden Carpool Karaoke-ing.
He's the only acceptable carpool.
Right. Well,
Carpool Karaoke human.
Right. And I don't want to see any repeats.
His voice is so good.
Oh, yeah. And he's so much fun. He's such a fan.
He's such a fan.
He's the Taylor Swift of Carpool Karaoke.
Oh, he really is. And when he starts harmonizing, you can tell when the guests are like,
Wait, what'd
you just do?
Jennifer Hudson is my favorite reaction to him.
Yeah, because he hit it. He hit it hard. So we have that one. So last season coming up, Orange is the New Black, the season we just completed it, I have not completed it yet. But next season is the last.
Thank God.
They put the kibosh on it. Same with when they finish the next half a season of Kimmy Schmidt, that will be the end.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to do a movie to tie up Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Because I don't think anybody's willing to give up that cash cow. I'm kind of curious as to who's saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who in that...
Orange is the New Black needs to be done. This whole last season was just trauma porn. Like,
now
it's just getting worse. Like, any comedy or revelation is gone, I think.
Yeah.
And now it's just watching horrible things continue to happen to people.
Yeah. And my heart was hurt by
Pusey.
Yeah.
No.
I never really recovered. But so they did pull the plug on that. You're going to get one more season. But if you're talking about girl power, the first year that they won, I think they won the SAG. I can't remember if they won the SAG or the Golden Globe.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing where the entire cast comes on the stage. Oh, it had to be the Golden Globe. And they were like, look around. Like, when will you ever see a cast
women.
Of this diverse assortment of women? Like, no one is a type up here. And it really was amazing when you looked at them all together. And you're so used to them in prison garb, to see them, like, all dressed up and at their best. And you're like, but that is every shape, shade, age, color, ethnicity, belief. Like, that's all represented there on that one show. So... kudos to them.
Yeah, there's lots and lots to love about that show, but I think just script wise, it needs to stop.
Yeah,
because it's like there's no good way to go.
And they've reached that point that some shows reach, like, where you have that perfect season, and then you can never, you just can't top it. Mm-hmm. You know, Dexter has season 4, where everybody complains about 5 through 8, and I get it. You're never going to get that good. Orange is the New Black was season 2. Like, once you have a villain that good, season. And you just have, like, that much, everything kind of feels like, oh, where do we go? Like, we hit it out of the park. Yeah. Homeland had the same thing.
Yeah, and now it's just all sad.
Yeah, Homeland had that season 3, and then you're like, all right, now what do we do? So that's kind of when most of the time I stopped Dexter. I would never stop because I love Dexter. And then we're going to get to our Oscar movie for the week, and I honest to God think Melissa McCarthy's got, like, a super good chance at an Oscar, and not only that, but I think the Lady Gaga bell can stop ringing, because now I think she's third in line to win that Oscar.
Like, yeah.
I think they're going to nominate her, and only because I think they really need people to viewers to show up. So I think that A Star Is Born is going to do way better than it should, but so do a lot of Bradley Cooper movies that don't ever win. See any one of the 4 movies that have been way over nominated from him. This one, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Her name is... Oh, I already forgot it.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy playing Lee Israel.
I don't know who that
an
is.
An author, a biographer from the late 70s, early 80s. She wrote 1 or 2 successful biographies and then just kind of fell into disrepair. She was working on a biography of Fanny Bryce that naturally no one wanted to buy
because
no one knew who Fanny Bryce was.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of had already been covered. Very talented writer, and she started forging letters because she stumbled across, in her research about Fanny Bryce, she stumbled across a letter from Fanny to someone else. And, like, tried to realize that when she was down and out that somebody might want to buy it. She didn't have to admit that she found it in a library. It wasn't hers. She kind of stole it. Sells it. They offer her a little bit of money, but they're like, well, it's not that personal. If it had more personal details or more in line with their writing style or their persona, you'd get more for it. So she starts, like, looking at famous letters, and she starts writing letters as Noel Coward and Dorothy Parker, Louise Brooks, Marlena Dietrich, and, like, she writes them better than they would have written them. Like, she's she's better at being them than they are, and she does the research because she's a biographer. So she reads their diaries, she reads their biographies so that the letters kind of make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a true story, and she got caught. But it is just... It's dark, 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 dark humor. Like, this is a woman who no one would ever like, who hooks up with this gay guy, this guy in a gay bar that she meets, and he kind of, like, encourages her in her crime spree, and just...
There's a lot of enablers in gay bars.
There's a lot of... There's a lot of bad decision bears at work here. But she's desperate for money, and she's actually working as a writer. She's not she's forging the signature, but she's just copying a style, right? And at one point, people are saying, like, they're reading a Dorothy Parker letter, and they're like, well, this has to be real. No one could ever write like her. And she has to, like, kind of bury her feelings that, like, Dorothy Parker didn't write that. I did.
Right.
Like, the person you're complimenting about, is me. So, but it's really... really, really well done, and a great performance. And Richard Grant, who plays, who I haven't seen in years, stumbled out of somewhere to play her gay best friend. And then the cat storyline is just the darkest of all possible humor. It's just sick and wrong, but what an interesting life. And she just died a few years ago. I had not heard that she had died. But interesting author, interesting woman, just a real recluse and a pain in the ass that no one likes. And, like, all the shit that they talk about Tom Clancy is hysterical, because at one point she's at a cocktail party with Tom Clancy. It's just completely wrong. But yeah, I honestly, it's her best performance ever. She has never been so, like, in character. She gets the laughs without going to any kind of Melissa McCarthy shtick.
Like slapsticky.
Yeah. It's all genuinely from a genuine misanthrope. Like, it's just someone who absolutely should not be around other people. But has to. So, I really recommend... I can't recommend that enough. Just a good time.
I will think about seeing it and then probably never will.
That's good that you considered it, though. That's what's important.
Gosh, what should I do today? Well, I should go see that movie. I'll recommend it. Should. But not gonna.
So, and then I still haven't seen Beautiful Boy, but I'm hoping that if tomorrow I wake up at an hour where going to a movie is possible before work, I shall.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, I'm very because, you know, finger on the pulse of the opioid crisis. Yep.
We're very finger on the pulse around here.
Several pulses. Pulse eye. Yeah.
I mean, I took my finger off of Whitney's pulse a couple years ago because I thought that might be settled.
I feel like we could pay less attention.
She ain't getting up.
Neither's Christina.
No.
Bobby Christine, excuse me.
Yeah, it could be a Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead situation.
You know what they'd be doing if they were alive right now, though?
Showing us their receipts?
Trying to get out.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's funny every time. Every time.
You're funny.
What's Shut Beethoven up. Doing now? Decomposing.
Decomposing.
Oh, my God. We're funny. Not doing Olivia Garden's jokes in the goddamn show.
Third grade humor. Humor. Always funny.
Tell you about the time I lost my job.
Uh-uh.
At the Orange Factory?
I worked at an orange juice factory. Yeah. Couldn't concentrate. It doesn't matter. You laugh every time. You can't help it. Can't help it.
I don't know.
Falling in love again. What am I to do?
I know.
Can't help it.
What are we doing now?
You're going to talk about two things.
Am I?
If you have, do you have two things?
Am I?
I don't know. Do you have two things? Because later on, he's got a sex question for us.
Oh,
God, I forgot about that.
What is it? That, is that going to be our thoughtful?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go into that.
Are we going to do that?
I don't have anything.
You got nothing?
I got nothing. Oh. I got more rants about A Star Is Born. Nobody wants to hear it.
Well, let's see what happens.
Well, what
that.
Are the new ones?
And
oh, wait. Do you want to talk about rants?
Yeah, I want another rant about A Star Is Born.
Go ahead.
I'm mad at this movie.
All right, fine.
Zeitgeist my ass.
Is that so the really... sex question?
No.
Oh. My ass! Go ahead.
No. So... I just have a few rebuttals,
yeah.
and then that's it.
Okay. You may have the floor. We yield our time
because...
to Kat Carlson.
Here's what happened. Last week, I went on a rant about the fact that there are no women anywhere within like spitting distance of A Star Is Born, to which, obviously, dumbasses went, well, Lady Gaga's a big star in it. Fuck you.
Yeah.
First count. Of all, fuck you. Second of all...
Good rebuttal.
Yeah. Right.
Fair point, well made.
Second of all, that's not what I'm talking about. So then, once we conquered all... Not conquered, but moved past those people.
Yeah.
Then I
those
had...
Those people.
Then I had somebody try and tell me that that was a plot point and a part of the trauma and what made these characters the way that they were. Second of all...
Then you got to tell me that somehow.
Second of all, also fuck you, because you cannot tell me that these two people lived for allegedly, we'll say 2 years, 3 years. I'm not sure how long this movie spans, but I'm going to guess a couple
and
years.
And never saw another woman.
Never saw another woman anywhere professionally ever.
Yeah.
That might be a thing that happens to you, but probably not.
Mm-mm. I'm a nurse, so guess what?
Right.
No.
I'm going to guess that there are probably maybe 10 people I know that might actually exist in this male-only
world. Yeah.
But no. Also, fuck you. And then then...
It's very hard on this
things,
point.
Yeah.
No, because, I mean, honestly, like, the irony of saying, hey, there's no women around here, and having a whole bunch of men tell me, well, that's okay.
Yeah, the correct use of irony.
Right. Thank you.
Being assured by men that there's enough women.
That it's okay that there's no women in this movie. But the one I think that made me the angriest is actually the one that says, well, but it's based on a movie from the 30s. Let me tell you about this movie from the 30s. Go watch it, because the first 20 minutes of that goddamn movie is about this girl and her family full of women, her mom and like her grandma and like an aunt and some grumpy old dad, whatever, like discussing her future and her dreams to go to Hollywood. And there's an entire 10-minute speech of her grandmother telling her, don't you let anyone tell you what not to do. You go follow your dreams. In fact, here's the money to go do it. Go get it, girl. Like, there's an entire like build up of this character.
I have a question.
In the 1937 version.
Yeah. And
so go.
Fuck
yourself and watch the movie before you fucking just blame it on the 30s.
I have a question about that.
Oh, tell me.
I'm not opposed to this scene.
Sure.
I just want to know who greenlighted a movie championing women to do their own shit in the 30s. Who greenlighted it? And then did they still have a job after the movie was made?
Well, no, the women is from the 30s too. It's from 1939. And there's not a man in that movie.
Funny story. Women were much more like repressed and held down in the 50s than they were in the 30s. Women.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
women
Hays
held
code,
their own.
The Hays Code comes mid-30s. But Gone with the Wind, Misguided.
Oh, you have a valid point.
The Wizard of Oz, all girl power stories.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you don't really start...
Spoiler alert, it was in her own backyard.
You don't really start putting women like barefoot in the kitchen until the 50s.
Oh, that is
oh,
true.
Oh, because the 40s, they are part of the war movement.
Right.
You have
absolutely.
Miss Miniver, you have Rebecca, right. you, yeah.
Yeah.
Rosie
you,
the Riveter.
You don't get to that till the 50s. So when you just say, oh, it's an old movie and it's from the 30s and it's always been that
way.
Because
they had to take the power away from the 40s that they got from being working.
Right. Because then
yeah,
all
you had to show them how wrong they were.
Because then all the men came back from war
right.
and felt useless because,
right.
as it turns out,
the women can do all their own shit.
We can do it without you, right. boys. Like, we just can.
I personally wish that they would do more shit. I wish men would do less and let the women do more. And what I mean by that is I want to see them all running shit. Not that all women
yes.
know how to do it, but I still like to see more women run shit.
I agree.
That's just, I've always
I
been
agree.
That way. Maybe
so,
it's because I was raised by a strong woman who could run shit, but maybe that's part of it.
Right,
but,
and some of that is my problem, too. Like, I come from a very matriarchal family on both sides.
Yeah, my grandmother
you know what I mean?
Run shit. Like it's
yeah.
how it worked.
Yeah, I go to family reunions and I think about it, and I've got very, like, all of the men in my family are very, like, patient and supportive, but also, like, don't fuck around with the women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, well, that's what your mom wants.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
that's exactly
your grandmother
how.
Said so. My
yeah.
hands are tied.
It's exactly how that worked
You know what
out.
I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
it's very much all of my family.
And grandma, my mom's mom did that delicate, that dance of, I can let you believe you're running this.
Yeah.
But I'm really running it all.
I know you'll be surprised, but no, the women in my family will just roll right over you.
She occasionally did that too, but yeah. most of the time it
that's,
was like, no,
that's the women
just,
in my family
that's,
too.
That's like, the status quo. Like
that's you
yeah,
too.
You just
going straight through you. Sorry
yep.
about it.
There we go.
Come along.
You can have an opinion. We're not listening, but yeah, you please do.
Write that down somewhere.
Yeah, please do. There's a suggestion box right under the sink.
Gotcha. Oh. Right.
Tie the bag.
I know
when
right
it's,
where to file
tie
it.
The bag when it's full.
Your comments go here, sir.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I read that, Ross. I tore right through it.
Oh yeah, The Hobbit's another movie with no women too that drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Barbra Streisand version, she just has her backup singers, but luckily they're all over the beginning when he meets her, and they're encouraging and they come up to support her. But, I mean, there really is no one in that movie but Barbra Streisand. The male parts
right.
are kind of down.
And I'm not saying it hasn't happened ever
yeah.
before. Somebody tried to throw Star Wars at me. Listen.
But you can also throw... You can say it's a remake of the 70s version.
You could.
There's
yes.
where you would go. Because she was such a star, she didn't need anyone to support her. But there's no one... Like, there's no one else in that movie at one point but Barbra Streisand. Like, the last... And it's the problem with Funny Girl, too. The whole second act is just Barbara over and over and over again.
But is Why? It a problem?
No, it's you're delighted. Sometimes the problem's just Barbara.
Yeah.
And don't tell her that.
I'm not saying I've never seen a movie with no women in it. I certainly have.
But one that's supposed to be...
Right, right.
Yeah.
A modern day update.
Yeah, no, they failed.
Ought to have... Somebody. Like, the driver could have been a woman. The sound engineer could have been a woman. Her dad could have had a female friend.
Anyone.
Like, plenty of cab drivers are women.
Yeah. Anyone. Uber drivers. So, we don't need the music. But it's not really a thoughtful vulgarity. It's just a funny thing from this comedian that I love, Justin Sayer.
Oh,
the
right.
one that performs.
Yes.
He does the hanky thing.
Uh-huh.
And always funny. And I hadn't checked in on his YouTube page for a while. And so... From last year, one of his rulings from the International Order of Sodomites, he's talking about relationships and, like, what kind of, like, he overheard a younger gay man talk about what kind of gay he should be.
Oh,
and
okay.
he was so, like, upset by the question.
They let you pick?
Yeah, that Justin was like...
Somebody tell you you couldn't?
Yes.
I got pigeonholed right away.
And just how funny he went to, like, bitchy and all the funny things he had to say. And he broke it down to, in your relationship, are you a Carrie or are you a Debbie? And they had just died. So the audience gets a groan out
oh.
of it. But are you the overbearing showstopper mother?
Stage
or
mom.
Are you the one who ghostwrites stuff and is involved in stuff that nobody has any idea and secretly is the only woman in, like, every guy's fantasy because it's the only woman they've ever seen before because there's only one female character in three Star Wars movies.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, which one are you? And I just thought it was the funniest question. And once the audience was done groaning because they had... He's like, too soon? He's like, but come on, are you the Carrie or the Debbie?
Right.
And I'm like, that is such a funny way... Just such an interesting new take on
right.
top, bottom, but Carrie or Debbie.
I'm going to go with Debbie.
I know. I desperately want to be the Carrie, but the tap shoes give it away.
I don't think I want to be the Carrie.
The grand problem. Entrance, too. Yeah. Might.
Like, I'm concerned that I'm a Carrie, but I'd rather be a Debbie. Let's put that out there. Let's
yeah, I want be credit the Debbie. For everything.
And I want a tap.
And we brought her, yeah, exactly. And we brought her up last week because one of the things that A Star Is Born desperately needed was
a tap number?
That too.
A mom?
Two things.
Oh!
No, it needed her. Carrie Fisher. There's so many movies in Hollywood that she did the, was a script doctor on.
Sure.
And like got dialogue better, fixed problems right. that they would just call her and be like, all right.
Could have pulled out 75 fucks from Bradley Cooper's dialogue.
Right.
And didn't she have a pseudonym that she used when she did that?
I don't think she ever. Or maybe she got paid. I don't think she ever got credit.
Credit for it. Okay. I remember hearing stuff, something about that.
Because she wrote Postcards from the Edge is her autobiography, and that's hysterical. It's more like a Ramona Clef. It's not so much an autobiography. It's like, you know, the Ramona Clef is when you're reading a story and you know that they're all real. Like The Master we talked about, that's absolutely not about Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. That's a Ramona Clef, where you can like deny any relationship to who it's about while it's completely about that person.
Oh.
So I think Postcards from the Edge is you're not supposed to believe that that is the true relationship of Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher, but it absolutely is the true relationship of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
I had never heard of that. Ramona Clef.
Mm-hmm.
A French novel with a key is a novel about a real life overlaid with a facade of fiction. I'd never heard that phrase before.
Yeah, and that's... So that's what she wrote in, but she was a script doctor for so many movies, and posthumously I think they gave her credit for a few more.
Did they?
Like, I think there was a couple that, and she would never say she always took the money, and she would tell you that take the money,
yep.
Don't worry about the credit. The money will buy you a house.
Oh, sure.
The credit will get you blame if nobody likes it. And most of the time they were shitty movies. Most of the time she took shitty movies and punched them up, or
made
a couple
less
times,
shitty.
Yeah, a couple times she took good movies that were. Like, had the idea to be good,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have a good enough writer, and she fixed them.
Like A Star Is Born.
Yeah, like she could have with that.
Damn it. Damn it!
So,
another
yeah.
reason why we need Carrie.
I wish I was a Carrie, but I'm a Debbie.
Yeah. But, Debbie, I mean, but the tapping is good.
Oh, no, I... Debbie, because I have to run everything. It's a contract. Yeah. I have that. But what you were saying, though, about are you the person who... does stuff behind the scenes, or you're not... How'd you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that doesn't take any credit. Just kind of, like, sneaks in, does it, takes the cash, walks away, nobody knows you were over there, like, is happy with...
I'm that person, too. Yeah, there's a side of that.
But we all like the little bit of glory and the thanks.
Yeah, I can't be quiet entering a room. There's no way that's going to have... There's no way that works.
Yeah. I mean, my... Now I'm not going to remember what it's called. Whoa. My amethyst robe.
No.
What was
no,
it?
Wait, no.
Amethyst realm.
My no. amethyst realm is rubbing together.
But why did you call it your haunted hoochie? Is that what you're
doing? Haunted hoochie.
Haunted hoochie.
Again, silver and dust are the colors most represented by my haunted
hoochie. Silver and gold. Silver
not
and
okay.
gold.
Marty, if you're still listening, I'm sorry about the crayon reference.
Oh, now you get to that. Now you get to that.
Yeah. As I get the motherfuckers, I'm listening.
I was
she's not listening anymore.
Justin Sayre. Oh, he is the funniest. The funniest. And he's got, like, so many stand-ups on there. And they're short and succinct. Some of them are, like, 6 or 7 minutes. But that is good times.
A couple of the movies that she actually script doctored for are 1992 Sister Act. She did. Oh, hang on. This thing is so fucking slow. Come on.
Every line went to Maggie Smith. I can tell you that.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why didn't this scroll down faster? Lethal Weapon, Hook. There's one more in here, too. Come on. Scroll down one more.
I'm surprised it's not Lethal Weapon 3 Lethal Weapon 2 is someone with the little short guy, the Oscar winner.
Sister Act, 88's Wedding Singer.
Oh, yep. I knew she did The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Joe Pesci.
Oh,
they fuck
yeah.
you in the drive-thru. Fuck you in the drive-thru.
My Cousin Vinny. Gosh, I love that movie. That's a fun
but
fun
Lethal
movie.
Weapon 2 is where he does the fuck you in the drive-thru.
Mm. Marnie's still listening.
You know what? She responds faster to texting if she's listening to something live. I find
we're talking to her. The library.
So how do we make that happen the rest of the week?
I don't know.
So there you go. And again, he just has something funny to add every time.
Marty says Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci. Yep, we got it.
We got them.
I forget through the drive-thru.
She's also on a delay and still responds fast.
Mm-hmm.
How's that working out for you?
So there we go. We wrap that up and
we did.
In less than two hours, ten.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. We're efficient.
Oh, we're good.
Efficient.
Be efficient. I know. I have an Alfred Hitchcock movie to finish up my Halloween. Oscar winner Rebecca is only Best Picture winner.
It's exciting.
Or nominee, I think.
It's very exciting.
There you go. I got an alert, too. Oh, Marnie.
Because she's texting all of us.
She's, yeah. She's on a group text. You're not special.
Good
so next
job,
week
kids.
Is election week, so we might be laughing, we might be crying.
It'll be a busy
we'll
week.
We'll definitely be drinking.
We'll do. Oh, yeah.
I'll do my best to have a TV screen in here with live updates from the MSNBC, because that's how people I believe.
Hopefully, Ducey will be on his way out the door.
That'd be nice. There's a lot of people I'd like to see out the door. Tons.
Yeah.
Many, many people. If you haven't voted yet, please do if you're listening to this. I mean, if you're listening like 2 weeks from now, too late.
Too late. Too late!
But you've got, from today,
get your life together.
You have 7 days. It's 7 days from today. Go. Go, go, vote. Please, please, please.
6 days and 22 hours.
Something. But we'll be here.
Math. So much math.
Tracking everything going on nationwide. But as we wrap up tonight's show, we're going to leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
Steve Kroenke.
I gotta tell you, I'm a Yelper, and you're not gonna get a good review.